saying to my wife in the car, I have nothing. Yesterday, nothing. Day before, nothing. And I sat down and I was hoping that by the time she finishes her announcement, I will have something. And normally, it's always at the last point that I have something. But today, thank God, I have nothing. But when I stood in front of you, Uncle, it's nice to see you, Auntie. I bless the Lord because the Bible says we ought to be ready in and out of season. And I thank God because if I do open my mouth today and I say something, it will not be prepared. So we're just going to talk today. And as I'm talking, I'm beginning to know exactly what we all need to talk about. Because in front of us, of me, are sitting many, many young people at different phases of their education and their life interfacing with the world. And I instantly know this moment, just two sentences into this sermon, what we need to discuss today. Today, we are going to discuss our generation, your generation, and the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about issues, questions that Simi and Anike, in the past 2 weeks, we have been talking about in our family. You're not going to look into your bags. You're going to get ready to talk, but it's not going to be a town hall. We will open the Bible and we will declare what the will of the Lord is. Some of what we are bound to talk about, you will disagree with, but it will be the truth. You all see the world totally different from how we saw it because we were raised in a totally different context from all of you here. We were raised in a context also different from our parents. They saw the world totally different and we could never understand them. I'm going to extend that argument by saying, so do not be surprised that as human beings, we see the world totally different from the context that the Lord Jesus Christ, who never ages, sees it. We want to be very understanding of you. But God wants us to be very understanding of him. You're going to have your professors of philosophy. You're going to have your truth speakers. You're going to have your tertiary institutions. You're going to have your philosophy teachers to tell you the world as they see it. But you have only the church to tell you the world as God sees it. And ultimately, what we'll be discussing today is that what matters will be the world as Jesus sees it for the reasons that I just gave you. Because very soon, you'll be like me. You guys, look at me. You'll be graying. You women, look at your aunties and your moms. You'll be older. And then you have children sitting around you and they will start seeing the world totally different from how you see it then. But there's someone who doesn't age. There's an idea that does not pale. From everlasting to everlasting, it remains the same. He has been able to outlast all of our philosophers, all of our governments and times and seasons. His name is Jesus, the Ancient of Days. His ideas never wane. And we have to discuss these things. We are going to talk about homosexuality. We are going to talk about non-binarianism. We are going to talk about abortion. We're going to talk about some of the opinions that the sermons do not directly address, but which we must, because that's the context that you live in. And then we're going to close. And then you're going to have a very important decision to make in your life. Who will shape my worldview? Will it be my age and my times? Or will it be the eternal rock of all ages? There's no parental protection for that. Some of you are at the age where we have no influence on your thoughts whatsoever. You are now the influencers. But we read from Romans 16, 1 verse 16 today, that says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation for those who believe. So let's go back. We're not preaching from Luke. I was not allowed to preach from Luke. Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. And I like this sermon, by the way, it's not just for youths. There's no such thing as a sermon for youths in the Bible. God's truth is for everybody. Father, speak to us, O Lord, that we may be faithful. Speak to us, Lord, that we may know your mind. Give us wisdom and understanding that we may stand by you. Help us, Father. Fill our hearts with the wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Break your word down. Persuade us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can someone please start reading from Romans chapter 1, verse 16? Like a volunteer.
Romans chapter 1, verse 16. I am not ashamed of the good news, because it's the power God uses to save everyone who believes. To save the Jews first, and then to save the non-Jews.
Please, well, sister, I'm going to stop you in between. I want that to sink in. I want you to see what is at stake here. These apostles started by saying, I'm not ashamed to be a Christian. There's no shame, despite what your schools, what our society may say. There's no shame about representing Jesus. Because if you kids, so you're not kids. Someone said to me that kids in the dictionary means the child of goats. Okay, you are children. You youths, you know that what is in now is somehow you are supposed to be ashamed to be a Christian. So this is relevant to you. This apostle stood and said, and I don't know why he said it. You would have thought in his time, religion was withered, was the thing. Yet he found the necessity to start this discourse by saying, number one, let this be settled. I am not ashamed to be a Christian. I'm not ashamed to talk about being a Christian. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where God wants you to be as Christian children. You have nothing to be ashamed of. Jesus is not a criminal. He's the savior of the world. You cannot be ashamed to be who you are. And the whole world is not just you. Even at work, people our age, they are persuading us, they are gagging us, they are trying to suppress us, repress us, they are trying to make us ashamed. I had a team building meeting at work, and they called the exercise two truths and a lie. Who knows two truths and a lie? You know that. They will make you write something. And you know, as a Christian, I'm not supposed to write a lie though, but I found a lie to write there because they said it was a game. Okay. No, they guessed what the lie was. So that was good. So you're supposed to guess what is true and what is a lie. And I'd be praying, Lord, that Lord, I need to minister the gospel to my team. That was my chance. And I said there, I'm a preacher of the gospel. And they went around and they guessed that was true. I don't know how they said, because I speak like a preacher. I don't know how you speak like a preacher. Every opportunity, declare the gospel. And there will always be an opportunity. I'm not ashamed. We must start from that word, Satan, in your colleges, which I think it's why you people do not know this. Do you know that the premier colleges in the United States were God's idea? They were started as seminaries, training school, Duke, Princeton, Yale. All of them were started for Jesus Christ to train ministers. Little by little, small by small, Satan turned all of them into, what do you now call them? Liberal institutions. Pushed the gospel out. The same institutions that were sent forth to declare the savior of the world are now actively, without you children knowing it, trying to persuade you against the good news, that good news, Jesus came to die for the sins of men, and those who believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. You have a choice to make as youths. Are you ashamed? You must not be ashamed for the doctrines, the teachings, and the values that you have received since you were youths in your Sunday schools, by your Sunday school teachers, from your parents. There's nothing to be ashamed of. I am not ashamed of this gospel. Why? Because that is the only way that joy and happiness and freedom and liberty, we all seek liberty and freedom. The more we've sought it in other ways, the less of it we've had. Have you not noticed? With all of our learning, with all of the breakthroughs in psychology and psychosis and studies of behavioral science, with all the grants, billions of dollars, there are still people carrying guns and shooting innocent people. The world is getting more and more wicked, not smarter, not wiser. It's not working. What we walk is the majesty and the love, the divine love of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you have nothing. You're in the right camp. You have nothing to be ashamed of. You need to tell yourself, I'm not ashamed of being a Christian. You don't have to be like them. You're in the right place. Sister Lola, please, let's go.
The good news shows how God makes people right with himself, that it begins and ends with faith. As the scripture
says, Sister Lola, now your translation. I know. I'm not feeling the King James in it. Please, someone should read New King, or read from, yes, thank you.
For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness.
Let's stop that. Do you understand that nugget? Let's be clear. Let's go back to 17.
For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith.
What does your translation say? We can use that to help us interpret that.
The good news shows how God makes people right with himself, that it begins and ends.
Okay, I don't think you people have a problem with that. The argument of this generation, it's not whether righteousness is by the law or by faith. Am I correct? You guys are not struggling with whether it's by the law of Moses that you can be saved, right? Right. You are not struggling. The question is, is Jesus relevant to my life or not? If it is, you know Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Okay, so let's go to the next verse after that.
18.
Yes.
For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the
19.
Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them.
Okay. I know that there's nothing happening, boys and girls. Someone comes down and shoots 20 people, nothing happens. There's racism, nothing happens. Slavery, nothing happens. But believe it. The Bible here shows us that the wrath and the anger of the Lord, you better believe it, there's no impunity for unrighteousness. It may not be happening now. I think it was Job that said, because the punishment of something is delayed, we men, the evil men are set in their ways. But have no doubt, the eternal God of ages, he never ages. He's keeping the dial, he's counting down, the cup is filling up. God notices everything. God notices everything. God notices everything. Every unrighteousness will be met with not anger. I like the word wrath. Wrath is so terrible that God is not willing to exercise it right away. He's infinitely more patient than the wickedness of men. His mercy transcends the offense of mankind. So it's very unwilling that anybody should die in their sins. But have no doubt, the wrath of God, The wrath of God is revealed against every unrighteousness of men. There's grave consequence to sin and to iniquity. We live in a very sheltered generation and age. It doesn't feel like anything is happening. But suddenly, the punishment of sin will come. There's a passage in the Bible that says that God is angry with sinners every day. He's so full of patience and kindness that he withholds it. He's always hoping that we may repent and have life. But they're not going to get away with it. You see them swear in the name of the Lord. You see wickedness being projected. You see evil. You see liars getting promoted. And it feels as though nothing is happening. But the Lord is keeping the record, hoping that men may repent. But the wrath of God will be manifest. It's been manifest. Go to 19, please, right? The wrath of God is revealed in heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men. I want to shake your world a little bit, boys and girls, because there are parts of history that are too terrible for you to learn. And you grow up in a very sheltered, innocent life. Boys and girls, I tell my daughters all the time, life is not as easy and sheltered as you think. We have the privilege of growing up in America. But this time, America that you live in was a different America 60 years ago. Was an America where most of you here will not dare attend the schools you now attend. Most of you here could never aspire to the future that God, by God's grace, you are able to. It cost the blood of men, and the struggles of men to give you every piece of liberty that you have today. It's a wicked world that we live in. I was saying in prayer on Friday prayer meeting, listen to a bit of history, boys and girls. Do not be naive. Do not be naive. Barely 40-something now, 1941, 1939 to 1944, a terrible thing happened. This was in the lifetime of some of our parents. Definitely in the lifetime of our grandparents. I'm not talking about 16-something or BC-something. I'm not talking about ancient history. Across Europe, boys and girls who were Jews your age. Has any of you read Anne Frank's diary? Anyone here? As part of your school study, you read it? Good. Anyone? You should. Wickedly, children of professionals, doctors, lawyers, they were herded together by the Nazi fascist governments of different Eastern European countries then and some Western European countries. And they were headed into what they called the ghettos. And ghettos were barely, they would block the street by Route 1, block the street by East West Avenue, block the street and say every Nigerian, every African must be within this. And they would put soldiers all across. So if you own a house in Potomac, they would bring you here. Suddenly, all of you were living in the ghetto. They froze all accounts. Suddenly, people couldn't believe it. This could not be happening. I'm talking about the 20th century. Suddenly, they stripped you, closed all schools. Suddenly, they said you must start wearing a gold, a yellow something on your band to show that you are blacks. This happened to the Jews. I want you to relate to this. Suddenly, your white friends, your black friends, your Asian friends, not all of them. Some were still very, very, in fact, a lot were compassionate, but even they were under the power of demonic government. They could not do, even those who wanted to help could not. Then the trains started coming, and they started relocating families from house to house. They woke you up. You could pack only one bag. And they herded people into trains. Families to what they call concentration camps. I'm talking about the 20th century. You live in a wicked, I want you to know the reality of evil that we fight. Your fight is not against social media. It's not against all of these things. We are fighting principalities and power, and only the hope of eternity in Christ Jesus and the kindness of God can anchor your soul. You have to live for something greater than what this world is telling you, brothers and sisters. It happened in Germany. It happened in Hungary, in Poland, in Western European countries. Suddenly, little boys and girls were separated from their parents. Babies were used as target practice. Led into crematoriums. Anybody who couldn't walk was burned. And the whole world kept quiet. 2021 Ukraine, was it this year? When did our war start? Feels like a long time ago. Students like you and I, whose parents sent them to Ukraine to study, were caught in the midst of a war. Within weeks, their friends turned into enemies. They were beyond the help of their parents. All the securities they knew cut off, I'm talking about last year or this year. They tried to get into trains and they were pushed away. All the influences of father and mother could not help them. Only the grace of God will help them. You've seen some of the YouTube videos, have you? If you haven't, you should look for it. You live in a wicked world. Jesus is your only anchor. Do not live in the false security of America or your jobs. All of these person, the Jewish people, their jobs failed them. Some of them were violinists. They were gifted artists, doctors, lawyers. Suddenly, all they had was the black and white jumpsuit on their bodies. 4 terrible years, 6 million perished. Rwanda, barely a decade ago. Neighbors, same color, turned against each other. We do not wrestle. I don't want you to be naive. Your hope is in eternity. There's no hope for us. We dare not put our trust in the world. The arm of flesh will fail you. On Christ, the solid ground alone, you must stand. Your education cannot save you in the time of trouble. Your parents cannot deliver you in the time of trouble. But Jesus Christ will always be by you. Has anybody read Knight? Elie Wiesel? Well, are you into Jewish study? That's fantastic reading. You've read Knight. Who else has read Knight? Elie Wiesel. Recommended reading. Terrible things have happened to people like you and me. And there's no protection. The gospel does not protect you from the wickedness of man. But the gospel protects your soul. You are more than conquerors. You will see the power of God at night. Christians suffer. That's why the present model of Christianity is failing, because it projects false security. The Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Christianity himself, knew the wickedness of man. He was hung, an innocent man, on the cross of Calvary. Only Jesus will anchor your soul. Some of you are getting fantastic jobs. Don't put your trust in those jobs. A little tweak in the economy, you could be jobless. Put your faith in Jesus. That is the anchor of your soul. No matter what happens, when you are well established in the love of God, you will last and flourish forevermore. The Bible says, all flesh, they are like grass. And all the glory of man are like the flowers of the grass. The grass will die and the flowers will wither. But the word of God will endure forevermore. This is the word that you have received as children. We do not see God with our eyes. But when you surrender to Jesus Christ, he will show you what the real meaning of life is. Please, Sister Lola, let's go from 20, right? Sorry. It says, all the wrath of God is revealed against every ungodliness and unrighteousness of God, because there's no excuse. Are we gotten there? Yeah. Because what can be known of God is manifest. For God has shown it to all of us. Okay, let's continue.
For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse.
Isn't that the philosophy? Sorry. Hey! I can see the pressure in the workplace, but I cannot see God. He's not just real to me. He's not real to me because we live, that's our generation, material girl. Well, Babylon. We live in a material world. Everything is touch, feel. I don't feel. Oh, open your eyes and see the wonder of the Lord. The most wonderful things, my dear people, is not the excellent score that you had in school. The most wonderful thing today is that the ground is hard under your feet. You want wonder? The most wonderful thing is that you put a seed in the ground and you get a tree. There's the wonder of God in everything around us. If we only open our eyes to see, the most wonderful thing is that the sun is suspended in the sky. How? They're still trying to explain it. The most wonderful thing is that your hair is growing. Can you explain to me how that happens? That's more complex than the best program ever written by man. They're still trying to understand the genes and how they are put together. They're still trying to break the code that was established in primordial times. And they tell us there's no God. Ever since the creation of the world, the invisible nature of the Lord, God has never been silent. He has been teaching you how great he is. The most wonderful thing in life is that you eat, you have no idea what your inside is like. We take care of the outside as though it's the most important thing. Do you know how many organs are in there that you have totally no control over? The most wonderful thing is that yesterday, Anike was 2, and now she's 14. How? How? Explain to me how you grew to be this tall. I knew you when you were in the car seat. The invisible nature of God is manifest. You cannot. Don't let them make you deny God. Explain love to me. Explain how you read the complex algebras and you happen to understand it. Tell me how. The invisible nature of God. So they are without excuse. Let nobody tell you there's no God. The invisible nature of God, his eternal power. Tell me how the stars are suspended in the air. Tell me. They talk about the latest A380s, these jets that can carry thousands of people. Tell me how the eagle flies. Explain that to me. Tell me all the species of birds in the air. Tell me about the mountain goat. I saw a picture of a mountain goat and how a goat climbs such a steep hill. Open your minds wide. They're educating you, right? Open your minds. The education of the world will close your mind. The education of the Lord will open your mind and you will receive light. And you say, how great thou art. They minimize the obvious. I think the way the Bible describes it is that they swallow a camel and strain as, is it gnat or gnat? What was a gnat? A little insect. That's what they're doing to you in these universities. They ignore the obvious and they swallow a camel. They are turning your light into darkness. The invisible attributes of God, they are clearly seen. We don't have to debate it. They are evident. I don't have to explain to you. I don't feel the Lord, but you ate his breakfast. I don't feel. Can you explain your mother or your father's love to me? Do you think you're any better than other kids? Do you know there are kids in Soweto today? Do you know there are kids? Do you know there are 11-year-olds whose parents have been taken away by AIDS? And they are taking care of their 6 and 4 year olds. Why the biggest problem you have is how you might migrate from iPhone 10 to 13. That's not a problem. That's a blessing that you can even think iPhone. In my age, we never owned phone. In fact, they would lock the phone in our house. So we had to learn to tap. You people will not know what it means to tap phone. They don't know what it means to tap phone. I was a master tapper. I could dial Ireland. The invisible. I'm repeating these things. This might be more than a one session sermon. Please.
God showed you anger because some knowledge of him has been made clear to them. Yes, God showed himself to them. There are things about him people cannot see. His internal power and all the things that make him God. But since the beginning of the world, those things have been easy to understand by what God has done. So people have no excuse for the bad things they do.
I think that's clear. God is good, brethren, children. You have. God is sending you to these fancy schools. You know why? You're Christian. I'm assuming you love Jesus. You know why? He's sending you there so that you can make the argument for Jesus in your generation. He's not sending you here so that you can have influencers, so that you can be the influencer. I like that. I think. Was it Bella? You are the one that used that phrase. Okay. He's sending you here to be gospel influencer. You're supposed to learn the philosophy, learn the medicine, learn the this. And because you already have understanding, God is not sending you to colleges, to pagan professors to have understanding. No, no, no. He's sending you there so that they will use their skills to equip you, just like Paul was equipped by the Sanhedrin, and it empowered him to preach the gospel. You are supposed to be able to articulate the argument for Jesus in your generation. You're supposed to understand what the issues of your generation are. And because you understand God, you become voices for Jesus, articulating eternal life to people and poking holes in the lies that Satan is using to trap your generation. That's what your education is for, children. You have work to do. In our generation, we've done it. Rather poorly, I must say. Because we also built all these churches and we turned religion into not love and compassion, we turned it into reverendies, GODs, title, you know, seminars, honorarium. Anyway, that's matter for another day. We built temples. We made ourselves little Jesuses. Men started worshiping us. We built ministry. Who told you to build ministry? Did Jesus call you to show me in the Bible where Jesus told you to go and build ministries? You will not find it in the Bible. Say, go make disciples of all my disciples. And the apostle did it. Let's go back to your issue. That's not your issue. That's Brother Shegun's issue. I just want you to know that the invisible nature of God is apparent. There's no argument. You cannot give me a good philosophical argument. They don't even entertain arguments against the existence of God. That's ridiculous. I don't want to go into all of that. It's just a distraction of Satan. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Can we continue?
Since the creation of the world, the physical attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power and Godhead. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became.
Do you understand that? Do you understand that? I want to be sure I'm not. Do you understand that? Sorry, what's your name? Yeah, you're an easy target. You're so much taller than everybody. Who? Angela. Do you understand? You do not? Who understands? Just this passage. You can explain it to the rest of us. I know you guys are not shy. If you guys get on stage and you're another person, you know? No, you guys are not. You're another people, not person. Guys, okay. Who can explain this? I don't want to preach over your head this man. Tenny is not here to check me either. Mm-hmm. Who? Kanye, Kiki, Rumkey. What's your name? You're so cute. What's your name? Tara? What's the full name? This is Tara. What? Omo Tara. It's nice to meet you. Oh, wow. I don't think I've met you. Who can explain this? Rotimi, can you explain this? Okay. Can an adult see me? Anika, you want to? The 14-year-old.
Oh, all right. So I think it's saying that because they thought that they knew God and they didn't continue their search for God. They weren't thankful. They didn't glorify him. They stayed at the place that they were at. They became fools, and they didn't advance in their knowledge of God. So I guess they went the opposite way.
Yes, because although they knew God, they did not glorify. This is talking about some of your professors who are going to tell you there's no God. The fool says in his heart, this was written before the first there were ancient universities built then, but before most of the modern universities. This is explaining to you that you are being programmed. You are being programmed by people who do know better. And if you read the history of anti-Christian movements in the United States and Europe, you know that they are being pushed by atheists, by people who came out from Christian culture but are revolting against that knowledge of God. That's what Paul is talking about. That although they knew God, they had been taught about God, right? They did not glorify him as God. They were not thankful. They became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And although they have PhDs, they had become foolish. There's a passage that says that the foolishness of God is wiser than what? The wisdom of men. I want you to understand this concept. They sound so smart when they stand in. What's that show? That film about proving God. There's a movie. God's Not Dead. Who's read it? That was a reaction to Nietzsche's philosophy. One of the most notorious philosophies is God is Dead by Friedrich Nietzsche. Right. And that was a play on that God is not dead. If you haven't seen it, you should watch it. So these professors stand. They know better. If they did not know better, then their teachers who converted them knew better. But Satan is using them to unchristianize you. Their goal is not to free you, like they say. It's not enlightenment. Their goal is to darken you, to remove. Have no doubt, is to remove the knowledge of God. They do not believe in religion. At the bottom of that is an anti-God movement. And Paul, in the spirit of Jesus, exposes this. He said, look, they know better. And on judgment day, the chief advocate himself will stand up and show them and reveal their hearts. And it will be plain that they do know better, because he will reveal the foundation of their lives. But they did not wish. There's something. They did not wish to glorify him as God. They did not have a thankful heart towards him. They became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And although they speak like they are learned, they had become fools. Because all of creation is to give glory to God. Let's read through this quickly so that we can speak on the issues. And I would like to say something on the common issues of our time. Then we can close.
And change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made by corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creatures. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their body amongst themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchange the natural use of what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of women, of both the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their hell, which is Judah. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them.
This speaks specifically about idol worshippers, an issue that Paul had to deal with a lot, but it also speaks about the generation that we live in today. See how popular some of these practices that we read about has become. I want you to note the very last part of this reading. Who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. The wages of sin is death, brethren. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. The soul that sinneth shall die. Listen to me. It may last a long time, but there's a punishment by the Almighty God for unrighteous practices. Hell is real. You don't hear that much in any sermon these days. But the punishment of God is real, and by his mercy, he's putting it away so that none of us will die. All these practices that have become very popular in Hollywood, very popular in the radio, very popular in schools, very popular, I miss some of your friends. They are practices that the Bible here says they are deserving of death. He said, not only are they done, but my children, I hope you are not approving of these practices. What happens is that when a generation becomes godless, unless you hold on to your values, you'll find out that although you may not do something, you may be secretly approving of it. If you're approving of unrighteous works, then you cannot preach the gospel because the gospel condemns all of these works. You cannot be who you are. We cannot let the society influence us to be like them. We have to continue to. Last week we studied Jesus. We said, you just go and preach the gospel. Follow me. The times, the seasons, when will racism disappear? When will homosexuality, when will all of this disappear? So leave that to times and seasons that God has said. You just go and set men free with the gospel. And unless you are convicted in the word of God, you cannot adequately represent Jesus. I want us to just, as we close, go through some of the issues. This year, I think you've read, most of you, do you know about the latest Supreme Court decisions? You know, we don't speak politics, but we have to talk to you about what is going on. You know the decision regarding Roe v. Wade, right? You know what Roe v. Wade is? Is everybody familiar with that? The law that makes abortion legal, right? Illegal across the United States. That law been in place for about 5 decades, and there's been an advocacy led primarily by the church to remove this law because abortion, from a Christian perspective, is very abhorrent. Right? So that's the issue. So finally, with the changing of the configuration of the Supreme Court, it became more conservative. Finally, there were enough Supreme Court judges to overthrow what they call Roe v. Wade, a law that the church perceived to be a practice of unrighteousness. Now, I don't want to go into the politics of Roe v. Wade or not Roe v. Wade. Here's where I want to go there. Here's where I want to go. Righteousness is a great deal more than abortion or no abortion, right? But where's your sympathy? It's at times very difficult from a strictly legal perspective to discern what is right or what is wrong. At times, you look at arguments, and I believe, please listen carefully to me, I don't want to lose you. At times, we are forced to make a decision between two. You're either for or you're against. And the way Satan has it is that there will be some merit on both sides. 100% of the time. Because Satan is playing chess while we're going step by step playing checkers with him. Are you understanding me? On one side will be the great and very authentic argument for the health of a woman. How about the child that was raped? How about the cases of incest? How about all of these deep issues that call from the depth of our heart for human empathy? And they are real issues. On the other side will be, but how can we promote a culture that allows for wanton immorality? How can we promote a culture where everybody thinks that the sacredness of life, whether you're talking about human cloning or any other sciences, when it comes to human beings, there's a certain sacredness to it. And we owe ourselves as a society to preserve that sacredness. We should not just arbitrarily kill babies. And then there'll be nuances that Satan will use, but they are not really babies, they are just cells. Okay, at what point do they become babies? And while we're arguing about all of this, as Christians, we're losing our focus on Jesus Christ. Let me tell you an example from Christ. Some people came to me and they came to me with a very difficult question. His country was under oppression, the Romans. And the key issue then is paying taxes to your occupiers. And they said, Lord, it is proper for us to pay taxes. And Christ refused to be pulled into that. There was no right answer here. Either way, Satan is just waiting to tie you as an extremist. Oh, see this anti-abortion extremist. See this pro-abortion extremist. Either way, we are talking about abortion. We are no longer talking about Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It is not for you to say. People, that is not your advocacy. Let's concentrate on Jesus Christ. You don't have to take a side. Naturally, as you focus on your Lord Jesus Christ, your morality will be set. Your sympathies will be directed by the Holy Spirit. Don't let Satan draw the agenda and have you come into it. Your eternal agenda is to go to every college and say, they ask you, what do you think about abortion? I don't know, but I can tell you one thing, Jesus loves you. I can tell you one thing, Jesus loves all mankind. I can tell you one thing, if you let Jesus come into your life, the decisions you take will be led by the Holy Spirit. We have a single issue advocacy, the salvation of the souls of men. When someone is born again, the issue of abortion will be settled in their heart. If they are not born again, what is your own arguing with them? Know who you are. I always say to Simeon and Anike that when Socrates set up a school, was it Socrates, brother Shegun? You do, the first the university is set up. The Latin word by the gate that he put there, you are not cooperating with me. Know thyself. Know yourself. Christian children, know yourself. That is the biggest philosophy lately. Know thyself. Know who you are. Be wise as a dove. Be clever as a serpent. Know when the society is trying to pull you to the left or to the right and co-opt your advocacy. Never give up. The scientists, Planned Parenthood, the Southern Baptists, let them debate abortion. You just follow Jesus. There is a paucity, a lack. There's a scarcity of people who really preach the gospel. There are enough advocates on earth. The world does not need you to advocate for these things. There are professors in them. Jesus needs you to advocate for him. Only Christians can do that. And as you speak, the Lord will show you. Nothing Satan will want more than you neglect the issue of the sins in the soul of men to talk about bilateralism, the pronoun that people preserve to use for their names. Whether you use he or you use she or you use they, does that take you to heaven? If you use they, he, she, and you are full of unrighteousness, you will die and go to hell. You are set to set the captives free. When you have preached to them, they are unadulterated Jesus. If you are focused on your own advocacy, If you are faithful to the Lord and Savior who saved you, he himself will resolve the issue of he or they in their lives. The reason why unrighteousness is spreading is because the gospel is refusing to be, no. The people, God's children, you guys are not talking about Jesus to your generation. And Satan is talking about his agenda. If you saturate your generation with the good news of Jesus Christ, light will encompass your community and your churches, and Satan, darkness, will not be able to come in. Christ did not give us issue advocacies. He gave us himself to preach. How many of you are ready to be faithful to Jesus Christ? To apply your smartness, not to argue, but to advocate for Jesus, for the gospel of peace. A Christian girl that walks in the power, or boy, that walks in the power of the Holy Spirit, for 97% of instances, will not have to deal with whether to have an abortion or not. There's a spirit within you that guides you in the right steps. But there might be 3% issues of real crisis. We pray that never happens to all of us by the grace, and none of you in the name of Jesus Christ. And in every Christian world, there are agonizing choices. We have decisions about divorce. There are situations that are not explicit in the Bible. There's just no answer for them. But when we walk in the power of the Lord, he always takes us to a resolution that glorifies his name. God will always move within us. We don't have to make an advocacy of this and neglect our primary advocacy. Are we saying that we should ignore the poor? Are we saying we should ignore the kidnapping of kids, trafficking? Are we saying that we should ignore the killing of babies? Are we saying that we should ignore even the abuse of homosexuals? You know, they've been abused and assaulted. Are we saying that because we are Christians, we should therefore close our minds to this suffering? No, I'm saying we should address them the way Jesus did. Jesus is the answer to all of these abuses. And it's not a popular answer. It's never been. But Christ kept insisting that, we sang it today, if you lift him up, he will draw us closer to him day by day. I don't think we believe in the Jesus method anymore. But I have seen it work. I have seen it work. If we are faithful to Jesus Christ, we fix the universe that we live in. There's no answer but Jesus Christ. God offers no answer. 1,000 books will not solve it. 3,000 legislations will not solve it. You cannot solve. The more we have tried, the more mental health issue, lomua, is just stressing people out. But when you give people Jesus, they have eternal peace. Do you want to make a change in the world? And I mean a real change. I don't mean a token change. A real change. Better change than Planned Parenthood. Better change than the Red Cross. Do you really want to change the world? Talk about Jesus. Talk about Jesus. Give your friends Jesus. Do you really want to stand out and make a difference? Most of you say, I want to make a difference in the world. I think I've read a couple of your college essays. You guys really want to soar and fly. Yes. I challenge you, sign up for the army of Jesus. If you are really courageous, sign up for Jesus. Because only courageous people can talk about things unseen, eternal hope, things that transcend this world. You are Christian children. God is waiting for you to be Christian children. James 4:4, he said, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? If therefore anyone is a friend of the world, then he shall be an enemy of God. 1 Corinthians 6:14, he says, come out from amidst them and be separate. Touch not the unclean things, I'll be yours. Do not be, sorry, he says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. What fellowship has darkness with light? What communion has the temple of God with Belial? You are different. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Go to college, get smart. Use your smartness for Jesus. You have an original advocacy. But it starts with you looking at yourself and making sure, like we read in that verse, that you do not approve of the things that grieve God. Because the wrath of God will be revealed against every ungodliness. It may not happen in the 2020s. It may not happen in the 2030s. It may not happen in the 2040s. But surely the wrath of God will be revealed against every adultery, sexual impurity, godlessness, cursing, because it is written, thou shalt not use the name of the Lord your God in vain. Everything that the world rejoices in, the wrath of God will be revealed against it. May the Lord bless you. Any questions? Who will pray for us? You guys didn't preach with me. You did not ask any questions, but at least you can pray for us. So who will pray for us out of all of you? Darren, this your thing always confuses me. Oh. You don't look like Darren with the mask on. No. Yeah. Who will pray for us? So do I have to call someone? I don't.
In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you that we're all here together and that you allowed us to be able to come and fellowship together today. Thank you for everything that Uncle Wale has taught us today. And I pray that you'll help us to have a deep understanding about it. And I pray that as like we go home and go back to our daily lives, that you'll help us to commune with you personally about it. I pray that whatever drive or whatever you're trying to show each and every one of us, that you'll help us to be able to see it through and to be able to do your will. I pray that as we go to school and continue to learn, that you'll show us exactly the way that you want us to use in our different fields, whether it might be medicine, whether it might be tech, whether it might be biology, anything. I pray that you'll just help us to go into the world and be who you want us to be. In Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord.